Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Thomas.
Hello.
I want to know something that is not sexual that turns you on.
Ooh.
Something that's not physical.
Ooh.
Well, it can be physical, but it's not just like an attribute of someone.
Right. First thing that's swiftly kicks into mind, it's a little physical, but not quite.
Okay.
Once upon a time, I had a female grab my tie.
Oh.
I was wearing a suit and she grabbed my tie and sort of to look at it like, this is a nice tie, kind of, and I nearly blacked out. I don't know.
It wasn't even a come here. It was just like, oh, this is a
nice
tie.
No, it was,
like,
we were already standing close, so mayhaps a little too close already. And in the conversation, oh, she reached out and grabbed my tie.
Wow.
Gee whiz. If anyone, all and sundry that are listening, I'm sorry, and to my darling girlfriend, I'm sorry. But everyone just, yeah.
Grab a tie.
There was no yanking, no choking. Just heaven.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer to your own question?
If someone's doing housework and I haven't asked them to, baby.
The unasked chore.
That seems really ridiculous, but in my fantasy I haven't asked for it. It's just I get home and he's just vacuuming and I'm like, this is just.
In your scenario, are you sitting there doing nothing, observing him clean your house?
I'm probably filming it and putting it on Instagram and being like, look at this hottie, and putting some sexy music behind it, to be honest.
Yeah, and that'll do it. That'll.
And then 5 minutes later, when you see me post that reel of this imaginary man, you know we're doing it after that.
Gee whiz.
So this is a main episode,
yes.
Which means that we've got a guest. I'm Liz Best. I'm here with Tom Harris.
Hello.
This is Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. And today we have a guest joining us on Zoom from all the way across the country. We've got Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Liz. Hi, Tom.
Thank you so much for taking time out to join us, especially since you are literally all the way across the country from us. We had Sarah write in with a little bit of a story that she thought would be funny, and I agreed. So I wrote back and said, when can you come on? And it took us a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing to work it out because everyone has lives, and I totally get that.
Yes, we love when anyone gets in contact, a question, advice, whatever. So to write in your little story is one thing, and we thank you for doing that. But then to back it up with the bravery to come on microphone and talk about it, that's not easy to do. Those of you at home who have a story up your sleeve and still haven't found the confidence to write in and appear on the show, take a page out of Sarah's book, I think, just do it.
We love it. So, Sarah, we're going to go through the rules because we have to, because that's the rules.
Yes.
Number one rule is figure out an alias. If you can't remember the person whose name you're talking about, then that's even better. The second one is no threats on mic. That's usually rule number three, but I thought I'd move it up this week for no other reason other than forgot what the other rule is. What's our other rule?
Oh, if you figure out who Sarah is and who she's talking about today, we don't want any doxing, sharing of information.
No,
sharing of addresses, phone numbers, etc.
No.
My email address is on enough spam lists that it doesn't need to be shared out even more, please. And that's
it. You can contact Tom on... No. So, Sarah, what I'd love to do today is start from the very beginning of this. Mm. So in the little thing that you wrote in, you mentioned that you went on a couple of dates with this person. So how did you meet them and tell us about those dates?
So I must admit, I actually met this guy in a bar.
That is a traditional way to meet back in the day.
Yeah. And I was on a high because I did a running race the week before and I did quite well. So I was still living the glory. And it's like all those nights where you go out, we went to the movies, my friends and I, and then we went for one glass of wine late, and then 2 a.m. later, we're still at the bar. Yes, one of those nights. And I met this guy out, and let's call him Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Very common name. Also, we have a habit of, when it's a night like this, going back to my best friend's house, who lives very close to me, and having a disco as well, continuing on the party.
Amazing.
It is amazing. So this guy, Dave, that I met out had really good dance moves. So we're like, come back to my friend's place.
That's something that's hot that's not sexual. You watch someone do good dance moves and all of a sudden you're like, I am into this.
I'll even say the dance moves don't even have to be good. An eagerness to dance, a willingness to dance, I think will get you halfway there.
Yeah, and then we're back at my best friend's place and he was like, I can do the dirty dancing move for you. You know how, yeah, so we're attempting that, but I got a bit scared because we're all a little bit intoxicated. And then
how do we want to describe to people that the dirty dancing dance to those who haven't seen it?
You know where Patrick Swayze, they're in the water and they have to practice the lift.
Hot, yes.
High up above the head, generally, yes.
Yeah, and they're practicing in the water to get it right, but we're practicing in my best friend's lounge room.
Now, so, Sarah, yeah, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, but still quite hot at the time.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
So I live very close, so I say, oh, I'll just come back to mine. And, like, nothing happened that night. You know, I was like, I'm just really tired. I need to go to sleep. And he said, fine. And then the next morning he's like, stay in bed. And I said, no, I meet my friends running. And he said, look, you know, I said, let's go on a date. And he said, okay. So, you know, a couple of weeks later, that's when I had time to go on a date because I am actually a very busy person. And we went on this date and, you know, within 5 minutes, you know, it's just not going to.
Yeah. You get that feeling. You get the ick. You get the, there's something that's just not clicking, even if they're good on paper.
Yeah. You know what? He was part of an acting troupe.
Yeah.
And
and he was saying he was going back to his profession. So we talked about, like, was he actually applying for jobs? And he said, no. And anyway, and I was in the middle of looking to buy a house, so it wasn't really going anywhere. Like, the conversation was quite forced, so I said, I have to go look at some houses, which was true.
Mm.
And he said, oh, can we meet up after we look on? You look at houses? And I'm really bad at saying no.
Yeah.
So I said, sure.
Oh, no.
So
can I get the timeline? Can I get the timeline? You're on a date. You say, I need to leave this date to look at houses. He says, after that, can we meet back up again? Is that correct?
Yeah. So we met for brunch around 10:30, I think.
Okay.
And we had like a 1.5 hour, 2 hour brunch kind of thing.
Sure.
And then it's around like 12 o'clock that I was like, I need to go look at home opens. And then he said, can we meet up for a late lunch after? So this guy went and had a nap in his car while I...
Oh, no. No, Sarah, no. I don't like that.
And so we went and so I met up for a late lunch with him about one suburb over. And then I am notoriously terrible at saying, I don't want to do this again. And so he tried to kiss me and I don't like kissing in public. So I said, goodbye, you know, let's do this again because I'm terrible.
It's like that Friends episode. You've seen that Friends episode, yeah, right? Where Chandler's like, that's great. I loved it. Let's do it again sometime. And he's like, what is wrong with me?
That's me. I am Chandler. I am Chandler. Except I haven't been handcuffed to the...
Not yet.
No, not yet. To the, what was it?
It was a filing cabinet, I think. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For anyone who's too young, Friends is a sitcom that happened in the 90s.
Yeah. most popular show on television for like 10 years, I think.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, so we organised another date, which was actually, I said I'll cook you dinner at my place for a few reasons. I get overeating out of the time, mm-hmm. it gets expensive, and also I was living with my friend's mum at that time, so I also had someone in the house, so I felt safe.
An ally.
Yeah, so, yeah, I wouldn't have done that if I was living alone. So we went on a walk first, and within the first 5 minutes of the walk, I said, I don't think this is going to go. I used the excuse, I'm just too busy. I had to take today off work to make some offers on houses, which is true. And I just said, I don't really have time for dating. And he said, are you still going to cook me dinner? And I said, yes, I can cook you dinner.
You said you did. You said you would.
Oh, no.
So on this walk you're together, is it the same feelings as when you're on that first date, that first time, that same undescribable kind of gut feeling?
Yeah, just not me.
But you backed it up and cooked dinner.
I cooked him dinner. He said it was delicious. Then he had brought dessert over, so he wanted to eat the dessert. And he sat, like, I sat on one chair and he sat right next to me. And I said, you realize there are other seats.
Dropping that
That's a little bit of the energy that we need to attack the you realize I'm not interested in you conversation. You're getting there.
It was like 8:30 at night. I go to bed really early. And I said, I'm really tired. I need to go to bed. So he said, okay. And then he tried to kiss me again. And I said, oh, good night. Like I was shoving him out the door. And he said, oh, if you're into anything, you know, you're too busy for a relationship. But if you want anything casual.
No.
And I said, no, good night.
Read the room. She's just said no to a kiss. I feel like she doesn't want anything casual, dude.
Yeah. You are in my house. I didn't say yes to a kiss, yes, all that kind of stuff.
I was forced to cook you dinner because I don't like confrontation.
Yeah, exactly. And now I will bring up the texts. So after that, he continues to text me.
Can I inquire when you said goodbye in person, what was that what was that last minute of your sort of interaction together, just a quite formal goodbye, you know?
Yeah, I didn't kiss him. I said good night and I shut the door.
Shut the door. That's it.
That's a clear message in my mind.
It's pretty cut and dry.
The 20th of June, he messages me. Been a while, hey, back from Adelaide because I have to go to Adelaide for work. And I said, hi, Dave, sorry for the delayed response, which was on the 23rd of June. I've been snowed under with work and life and illness. Adelaide trip got moved. Man, it's so cold at the moment. 25th of June, he messages me again. Hey, life does get busy. I was sick too, better now, but I think it was what everyone in Perth had. It is damn cold, hey, going to sleep cold is not fun. Mm-hmm. On Friday, the 25th of June, he messages me at 10 to 12 at night.
Okay.
How's your Friday night? I just don't respond.
No, because normal people, well, me, I'm asleep then.
I was asleep, but also I'm not texting back a guy who I have told I don't want to see at almost midnight on a Friday.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. So the Sunday after that Friday, he says, hi. This is where the texts start. And I just didn't even read it when I woke up on Monday. Honestly, it was more for self-preservation. I was like, this isn't going to do you any good. Mm. And then I read it a year later with my friend.
A year later. Some time to wait between. Did you just rediscover it and go, oh, my God, I realized I didn't read this text?
No, I didn't. I was telling her about the story when we went on a walk and dinner one night, and we were just talking about, like, bad dates, and you know, she was talking about this one instance when she was doing some online dating during the pandemic, and video dating was like coming in, and some guy wouldn't put on his camera.
No, red flag.
Yeah, so she ended the call, but I was like, have I got a story for you?
Yes.
So I went back and I dug up this message, and it was the first time I read it with my friend, and we just couldn't stop laughing. So this guy says, hi, Sarah. I genuinely do hope your weekend was good. You're doing okay and you're not sick anymore, smiley face. I'm messaging to say I don't think anything serious will work out between us.
Oh, okay. All right. You take over this. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that tickled me.
Yep.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Don't worry. It goes on. Read the rest in your, if you're in an okay headspace, please.
Oh, no, poor Sarah. I just hope that you can deal with my rejection. Okay, continue.
I think you're a cool girl amongst other positives, but I know my value as an emotionally switched on and genuinely considerate man. So I am not confused why you have been. So I am confused why you have been so sparse in getting back to me. I don't think it's okay to ignore and hope the other person gets the message. No, I think if you don't want to continue anything, then say it in words, not in silence. And if you do, then say it, not silence.
You did say it.
I know.
Several times. I know. You said it, and then he said, can you still cook me dinner, though? And then the food made his brain go scrambled and forget that you said that.
I know life has been... Yeah,
sorry, keep going.
I know life has been busy for you lately, but it always will be. So I think you would be doing yourself a disservice if in the future you ignore or play hard to get or prioritize work over responding to them. It's only going to hurt you, in my opinion.
Tom, explain what my face is doing right now.
It's nearly audible shock, I think would be the way to describe
the
it.
The audacity, though.
This is delicious.
Audacity.
I could snack on this exchange all day long. This is delicious.
Yes, let me mansplain how to be a woman dating to you, shall I?
Yeah. When I reread it, I was like, oh God, here we go. And then it continues.
Oh, God.
I know this is all sounding super formal and probably wankier than how I convey it in person. Yeah. And you're probably thinking, where the hell is this funny Dave guy who dances Jamiroquai and does acting? And I was like, when I was reading it to my friend, I was like, yeah, he is actually a really good dancer. Like, just
to be fair, give him the credit.
Yes. Well, fair enough. I am that Dave still, haha. But like I said from our first date, I will always be honest with you. And to be frank, whilst I mean no spite or hate, I'm hurt from people in my life who are dishonest by the words they do or don't say, both women in my past and men in my family right now. Maybe I've got the wrong end of the stick. Maybe you'll feel better by filling in the blanks. I feel better getting that all off my chest, and okay. I owe you the same if you need to message me back. Everyone should find a someone and wish you good luck in finding yours, Dave. But it continues.
Oh, shit. All right.
I get another message after this.
Okay.
Sorry, that was overload if you're reading that Monday morning and still snowed under with everything. I'm regretting not sending it in the morning instead.
Oh, man.
Like that would make a difference.
Like that would make a difference. You still said the same dumb things, Dave.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
I hesitate to ask, are we done? Is that...
No, we're not done.
Holy fuck. Yes. All right.
Yes.
Keep going. Tom is loving it.
I said, well, I went into like management mode.
Yeah.
And I said, hi, Dave. Thanks for this message. I've been meaning to message you. Have been a very few tough weeks for me with work. Look, you are super polite and we really did have fun that night we met. However, I do feel that we are on different life paths. Sorry I was not as fast getting back to you. I really do appreciate the text message above and the time it took. And good luck to you as well.
That's very kind response. I would not have been so kind.
Very
but that is
diplomatic.
A very considered, diplomatic and kind response that addressed your feelings on the matter and also gave him a little thank you for your time.
I was also a little bit scared because he knew where I lived.
Of course. Yeah. And this is something that a lot of guys don't consider, is that when we're responding to you, there is a lot of times when if someone knows where we live, we don't know how you're going to respond, and we need to temper that response because there are, you know, and I'm not saying it's just gendered, but traditionally, statistically, totally. Guys can go crazy on people, and when they get their feelings hurt, it can get dangerous. So we do have to temper our responses.
Yeah. Don't worry. It hasn't finished.
Okay. I'm not. I mean, I am worried, but.
So, yeah. And okay, he said, hey, Sarah, cool, good response. And yes, it did sound like work has been super rough for you. That sucks. By the way, I was in a bit of a mood last night for other reasons. Sorry. I hope you didn't take it to heart too much. Doesn't sound like it, which is good. And yes, that was a dope fun night of dancing, wasn't it? Ha ha. No dancing for a bit. Looks like we're in lockdown. So it doesn't end. There's one more text message.
Oh, okay, I'm bracing myself.
On 3rd of August. Hey, Sarah, I haven't changed my mind about the above stuff, but are you still single? Thoughts on a bit of a one-night stand?
Oh!
Yeah, I just text back saying, no thanks, and I blocked him.
Brilliant, yes, brilliant.
As
yes.
you should. This.
Our producer, Zane, just went from looking super fucking exasperated to pissing himself laughing at the what a bit of a one-night stand. Like, dude, this is his problem, right? He's not reading the room. He's like, you didn't say anything. Yes, she did. Several times.
Your man himself said, I haven't got the wrong end of the stick. My friend, you need to learn what a bloody stick is if you have any hope of getting near grasping one. Good Lord, he misread the room. He rode in the white elephant into the room on that white elephant. Good
and
Lord.
Tried to take. I can't get over. So for me, Sarah, the audacity is in trying to take control of that conversation. Like you had made yourself clear, but he needed to be the one to let you down to make him feel better about himself. Like he needed to think that you were in despair rather than both just agree that you're not good together. My God.
Normally I'm one for looking for nuance in stories or sides and exploring it, but for this one, I'm all in on just pointing and laughing at this man and his responses. So early in the piece was he sort of denied or sort of not even denied, sort of politely rebuffed and then to just misread
ignore.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wow. I was laughing at the beginning and I had to stop myself from continuously laughing at this
man. I would have laughed through the whole fucking thing if people didn't need to hear your story. That was absolute. It was delicious. That was it was so bad. And I'm so glad that you read those, you know, messages like a year later. Kind of, you know, because, oh my goodness. At the time, I think I would have been really upset or afraid but oh my God, bloody actors, hey Tom.
Yeah, that's why I didn't read them, was because I knew it wasn't going to do me any good at the time. Like,
yeah,
and so going back a year later and being like, oh, this is actually quite hilarious. Like,
yeah, amazing. Yeah. So you go through something like that, you get those hilarious text messages. What do you think your overall lesson? What have you learned from this particular experience?
I think I need to be more forthcoming, like not saying I'm too busy or something, saying I don't think we should date, basically, or we're on different life paths. This isn't going to work out because obviously I didn't I think it was that, because obviously I don't think anything would have stopped this. Like, after I said no several times, he was like, still want to casually hook up.
I don't think you should be blaming your communication here in any way, shape, or form. Like, I guess that internally you might feel like you want to, you know, say the exact "please get out of my life" words. Mm. But I honestly think that I think you made yourself pretty clear, and he just chose to ignore that.
There might be a small case for being better at just saying no instead of being like dragged to another event because we can't say no. We can't say no.
No is a complete sentence.
Yes, absolutely. And so that might be a small life lesson, but all of the foibles are on Master Dave, and he's just ill-advised use of text messages after sort of getting a I think we're done here. You cut your losses, mate. There's more. Get back out there.
I know. To all the Daves out there, not really Daves, but people who act like Dave. I know that your ego is hurting when somebody that you like isn't on the same page as you. But you don't need to take control of that conversation and make it like you dumped them. You could just agree that it's not going to work.
What are the odds that you're going to convince someone or like talk them into over the? It's not a debate where
you can be begged into a relationship. Yeah, well, that's actually. They will be, and that's why we have this podcast.
That's very, very true. But I mean, come on.
I've learned to listen, and you know, my lesson from this is listen to the person who's talking to you, and not just the words that they're saying, but the doors that they're slamming in your face, and the dinner that they're begrudgingly cooking you. Like,
yeah,
read the context.
Like, look, I must say, you know, I've done stupid things in the past as well, but it's with people that I've, you know, had relationships with or something like that, not being on two dates with and being told, "I don't want to date you." So
yeah,
I just think it wasn't eager, it was creepy.
Yeah. Totally. My little lesson would be respect. Respect not only for the person you're talking to and sending message, you know, not just respect for other people, but respect for yourself.
Yeah,
like,
man.
To go, hang on, I'm not going to bombard this person with messages or make them or anything. I'm going to have some little bit of self-respect and just sort of know when to bow out and not get dragged down by my ego or anything sort of toxic on top of that.
And if you've sent a text that says, "I'm sorry for the, you know, word vomit. I was in a bad mood."
Yes.
That's enough. You don't then need to send a text apologizing for the text, apologizing for the word vomit. Mm. And then, like, if someone doesn't really reply, then that's probably the end of that conversation. You need to sit with it. One good lesson that I've learned from this is if you think something's going to hurt your own feelings, don't look at it until a lot later. And yep. I think that's one really great thing that you managed to do, Sarah, is that you had a very clear boundaries on what was going to make you feel uncomfortable, and you shut that out of your life. You're like, I'm not going to deal with this until I'm in the mind frame to deal with it.
Ignorance sometimes is,
and then it's hilarious.
Sarah, I would hang on to those text messages for the rest of your life, because you and girlfriends for the rest of time will have a great giggle over this exchange you've had with Mr. Dave.
It just went forever. Holy shit. Holy shit. Oh, and look, if you, like Sarah, have a dating story that you just dine out on with your friends, that you've told at bars, that you're like, well, have I got a story for you, then have the story for us. We'd love to have you on and have a chat about it and dissect exactly what was wrong with the person that you're dating, because that's so much fun for us.
Yes, if it's a story, if it's not just a story, if it's a question for us for our question-themed quickies, send them in. We'll take advice. We'll take compliments.
Yeah.
We'll take a little bit of well-constructed, thought-out criticism, but nothing too
harsh. I might cry. But look, thank you so much, Sarah, for taking the time to chat with us. That
round
was
of applause, everyone
so
at home.
Enjoyable.
Great stuff.
And I just think that there's a lot of good lessons to be learnt in that particular one regarding communication and, you know, knowing when to stop. People, if you have to overthink it, dear God, stop. Until next time, I've been Liz Best here with
Tom Harris. Text responsibly, I reckon.
Yes, absolutely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.